Entering Banthas, this is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's episode is episode 105, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your hearty party of arty and smarty farties.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And may I just say, I do appreciate the Bantha reference that you threw
okay,
in there.
I know it's Star Wars, but which animal is a Bantha? It's not...
They're
it's
kind of the big,
I know Tauntaun.
They're like the big sort of elephant-y looking creatures.
Okay, but not the snow one. That's
right,
a Tauntaun.
Right, right. Okay.
What's the Donald Snowman?
That's a Wampa.
Okay.
And as a kid, the Star Wars fan club newsletter was called Bantha Tracks. That was the name of
so
it.
Yes.
Very cute.
Yes.
You were like, I'm so glad you asked that.
This reminded me that I've been reading The Empire Striketh Back.
Oh.
Have you? So there's one for Star Wars, too. It's just somebody wrote Star Wars, but in iambic pentameter.
Wow.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's The Empire Strikes Back one is so funny. Like, Luke encounters the Wampa, and it's like Wampa aside, and the Wampa speaks to the audience about how he's just a simple Wampa looking for food. And it's really funny.
This All is right, very, I'll check
yeah.
that out.
Yes,
I'll check that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, please do.
And today's show is brought to you by our brainy bookish buddy, Audible. Audible houses over 150,000 audiobooks ranging from bestsellers to classics and, of course, some of our favorite books about trivia, weird facts, and secret histories. So visit audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain for your free audiobook download. So every week, we actually do go play pub trivia, and we learned a good lesson. Couple weeks ago.
So this has come up twice for us now. You know the Sister, that show in the 90s? It had J.K., Harry, and Tia and Tamara Mowry.
Twins.
They're twins. They're they're basically
identical
twins.
Yeah. To be clear, they give us pictures at trivia, and they're like, write down underneath this who this is.
I was watching an interview with them once, and they said, one of us has a mole, and the other one doesn't, and that's how you can easily tell us apart. Mm-hmm. So the first time we were asked this in trivia, I was like, okay, one of them has a mole.
Right.
It's like, which
it's
one?
Like, well, clearly one of them has a mole, but.
And it's like, okay, so they are different. We were able to establish they were different because one of them had a mole on her cheek. But which one?
Step one is that we identified they are Tia and Tamari Mowry.
We got that.
No,
right.
Okay.
But we're not getting any points for that.
No. And then it's like, okay, one has the mole, and we realize Tamara is the one who has the mole. And so
Tamara
mole. Has a mole. Tamola.
Tamola. We did say that.
Not
Tamola.
In a mean way.
Right.
We got it right because we identified the right twin. The quizmaster gave everybody points.
Yeah.
Just for
right.
Tia and Tamara. So the first time we did not get points, but we knew who they were. Mm-hmm. The second time we knew specifically exactly who they were and we got the points, but...
It was amazing how fast our mood swung from self-congratulatory to outright hostile.
Yeah. We're slapping each other on the back. That was a good. We nailed it. We got
a good
Tamara difference.
That was a
and
good
then
get.
We just about burned that place down when we found out that everybody else got the points too.
the
drama of trivia.
Agony and ecstasy.
You know, you guys.
Right.
Trivia
well, except for the table that put, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. They didn't, they didn't get the points.
That is not their names.
Right.
And I also want to share with you guys something that also happened last week. I attended this special Disney event lecture. It was like 4 hours.
You went to school for Disney? Just for fun?
I went to school just for fun. I went to it was a movie theater. It was a lecture event. And one half of the presentation was about Imagineering. They actually had Bob Gurr, who is one of the famous legendary Imagineers who designed a lot of the vehicles in Disney. He designed the monorail. He designed the doom buggy of the Haunted Mansion. Just like a really interesting guy.
Were these people actually in the theater? Or was this recorded at a different location and played in the theater?
This was everybody in the theater.
Okay.
It was a live event.
All right. It's less nerdy than I thought.
I'm watching something else.
You know what I'm talking about? The Fathom Events or whatever.
Right.
Another part of the presentation was about the project called Westcott, which was Disney in the 80s and 90s under Michael Eisner, because of the success of the Walt Disney World, they're like, we should expand Disneyland in Anaheim and make it bigger and have this big proposal. Anyways, it didn't happen. But they did talk about a lot of the attractions that were planned, and they had concept art. I just want to tell you guys this one ride. And it sounded so up my alley, and it was so insane. Obviously, none of this stuff got built, but Here it is. It's this thrill ride that was envisioned to be part of like the futuristic part of the park or the resort. The future pavilion was supposed to be like on a big spaceship, you know, on a big carrier, and everything was kind of themed that way. And you can learn about terraforming on Mars, you know, actual science. But then there's also this ride, and it's called Deck 13.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole premise of the ride is you're lining up. And you're in the future, and you're going to get cryogenically frozen.
Okay.
Right? So that's the idea, the story they're selling.
The framing device, yeah.
As you line up, you start seeing kind of weird things.
Oh.
There are some splatters of blood. Finally, you're in the ride. But, oh no, malfunction happens. And it shoots you up. Because the machinery, something has gone wrong, and it shoots you up, and it's a free fall, kind of like a drop ride. Your dead space astronaut buddies are reaching out to you to grab you, and it's really scary, and then you fall. Not only do you drop, but you drop and spin at the same time down the chute.
And it's probably dark at the time.
Dark and scary. And then you go up again. And then there's another, you know, like a dead spaceman grabbing you, and you fall again. It's just kind of that type of ride.
I want to ride that ride.
I know. It sounds so awesome. Mm. It's called Deck 13. And it's really chilling. And like in the concept sketches, all the writers have like fear in their faces. Yeah. You know? And this is just one of the rides that didn't get built.
Yeah, it sounds a little edgy for Disney.
A little bit. Yeah. It's kind of like Aliens and the video game Dead Space. Mm. Kind of. It felt like that. But I was just like, oh my God, I have to tell somebody that. That sounds so cool.
That is cool.
It was an awesome nerd, good job, Bray moment for me. I was just like, I was just nerding out. I was like, oh my God, I love listening to Disney history. And this was run by a team called the Disney Project. And they're just two big Disney nerds who would do all of this research and would write books and who would interview Imagineers and get all these like research and concept drawings and stuff. It was very awesome.
That is right up your alley.
Yeah, that is.
Nice.
All right. Well, enough about that. Time for our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And you guys have your Barnyard buzzers. I have a random Trivial Pursuit card. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. What is the French holiday commemorating the beginning of the French Revolution?
Oh.
Chris.
Bastille Day.
Yes.
Yes.
Bastille Day.
14th of July.
Whoa. I was just going to ask you which day.
Oh.
All right. Pink Wedge for pop culture. What American Idol contestant went on to win an Academy Award? Chris.
Jennifer Hudson.
Yes. And it says here on the card, although she only got 7th place on American Idol, she won Best Supporting Actress for Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm.
Love Dreamgirls. Yellow Wedge. What performance group did sharpshooter Annie Oakley tour with? Dana.
Was that Wild Bill Hickok's traveling show or something?
No. Yeah, there's some common words.
Some stuff.
Some overlapping words.
Is it Cirque du Soleil?
No. Oh,
dang.
It is Buffalo Bill's Wild West.
Wild West. Oh,
okay. I just say all the old Westy things.
Yeah. You had Bill.
Bonanza. Yeah.
I was like, I feel bad because Deadwood maybe had something like that. I'm just going to make something up.
All right. Purple Wedge. What Michelle Pfeiffer movie was based on the book My Posse Don't Do Homework?
Oh,
come on.
Dana.
Dangerous Minds.
Yes.
My Posse Don't Do Homework.
Wow. As I walk through the valley.
I take a look at my life.
You know, usually I think the movie names are lamer, but yeah. I think that movie name is actually better than the book.
Yeah.
You know, it's the book is more high concept.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Green Wedge for science. What classic children's toy started out as wallpaper cleaner? Everybody.
Play-Doh.
Yes, talked about on the show. You guys can be more excited.
Play-Doh!
Wallpaper cleaner.
Just flipping a switch there.
Yep. Realize that you can do crafts with it.
Yeah.
And they just totally remarket it.
And kids can eat it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
If they're so inclined.
Yum, yum. All right, last question, Orange Wedge. Oh, what is not an ingredient in Long Island iced tea?
All right.
Okay. Multiple choice. Mm. Gin, tequila, vodka, or whiskey?
I do not believe that gin is in there.
Incorrect.
It's tequila, right?
Incorrect. Oh.
Vodka?
No, whiskey. Dang,
really?
Dang really?
Huh.
You know what? I cannot even tell you the ingredients of Long Island iced
tea. It's just a lot.
It's just a lot of apple. Yeah.
And then the evening is different.
Yeah. That's when you really want to party.
I figured there'd be whiskey in there, but I guess
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I did too. Huh.
So, yes, gin. Yes, tequila. Mm-hmm. Yes, vodka. Interesting. No whiskey.
Huh.
Mm. All right. Good job, brains. So, of course, today's show is 105. Every five shows, we do an all-quiz episode, so we don't really have a theme or a topic throughout the whole episode. We made our own quizzes and puzzles, and we're going to quiz each other and you guys, listeners. And so today is our all-quiz bonanza number 21.
Yeah.
Wow.
And who wants to go first?
So I'll get it kicked off. I'll get this started. I went to a baby shower last weekend.
Okay.
I don't have any big announcements. I went to a baby shower. Because it's all, the baby's almost here. They're usually half in at the end. I'm not with child. There's no baby. The mother to be's sister made a quiz. She listens to our show.
Oh.
And she likes it. So she made a quiz inspired by the show. And it was a really good quiz / very hard quiz.
Oh.
She's a science buff, so there's a heavy science leaning. So I decided I'd read it for you guys.
Oh,
I'd
love
do it for
it.
You guys.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
All right. First question. What is the name of Prince William and Duchess Kate's baby?
It's George Alexander Windsor.
Right, because it was like all the Costanza
connections. George Costanza, right. Jason Alexander.
Right.
Yeah.
Prince,
not why they
Prince
named
George.
Him that. Prince, yeah, Prince George Alexander.
Yeah.
Right.
She took George, so yeah.
Okay. So she's nicer.
She's
than,
a little lenient.
Yes.
George Alexander, last name Windsor.
Windsor, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. What is unique about the male Dyak fruit bat?
The male Dyak fruit bat.
Yeah, Dyak or Dyak.
It's fruit bat. Something related to babies.
Chris.
Or...
He carries the baby.
No.
No? It's not like a seahorse.
He can only reproduce one time.
No.
Whoa.
No. Karen?
Does he rock the baby? Like
no.
carry the baby with
Karen's
his
Karen's making a rocking motion, by the way.
Because he has wings. I feel like it would make a good cradle.
Oh,
no.
Right. Yeah.
The male produces milk. It lactates.
It
can nurse the baby.
Whoa!
That's gross. I will not drink that. I will drink female bat milk.
But okay. I draw the line.
I draw the line at
male bat milk.
Dude bat milk.
Dude bat milk.
Dude milk.
How
Man
much
milk.
Dude bat milk can it produce?
I mean, the fruit bats are pretty small creatures, right?
It's gonna be like
I'm
a
imagining
shot.
Like to get
how,
yourself
how much,
like a nice
yeah.
healthy 8-ounce glass of bat milk would
for
probably
a lot
take
of
a while.
It would be a lot. Yeah.
So the female fruit bat can also lactate.
Oh, okay.
So we can have mixed genders.
So it's just sharing the
It's equitable.
Yeah. Right.
It is equitable, and they think it was to take the pressure off the mother.
Oh, well, gentlemen.
Well, good for you.
There you go. Got to up your game.
Right. I mean, I'm stuck with these
human...
useless nipples.
Right.
Well, you have the equipment. You have most of the equipment. You just hook it up.
Right.
What male animals can become pregnant?
Seahorses.
No, wait. Can they,
or, well, is, carry the baby.
They
carry the baby to term. Seahorses.
Okay,
Seahorses and their other fish in the seahorse family, like the pipefish and the leafy sea dragon, which looks amazing.
Oh, crazy, yeah.
You should Google it. It looks like a seahorse dragon with leaves growing off of it.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Anyway. It's like kelp.
Yeah.
It's like if a kelp and a seahorse mated.
Right.
Yeah.
Other thing you should Google is actually watch the male seahorse, quote, give birth.
Mm.
It's amazing because he's so filled with seahorse babies.
Enlarged with. Yeah.
And a little hole, and it just all comes shooting out. And he bursts out all these little seahorses.
So many seahorses.
Like, so many. It's almost like sad because he's having like, it's their contractions.
Yeah.
So he's in pain and he's like tired from like all these babies shooting out from this one little hole on his tummy.
Right.
I don't know if I'm assigning like human emotions.
I think you may be are, but
it's
okay.
You know, it's on his side and it's like, oh, so tired. More babies shooting out.
That's right.
It's really weird.
It's the miracle of life.
No, were the eggs fertilized in the female seahorse and they transfer over to him or no?
So, so what I read, the way I understood it was the female puts her eggs into his brood sac and then they are fertilized there and come to term in there.
Wow.
Google that.
What was the African clawed toe frog used for in terms of pregnancy, related to pregnancy?
Is this to detect if you're pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say lubrication.
No. I thought it was maybe an epidural or something like that. But it's a it was a pregnancy test.
How does it work?
You pee on the frog?
You pee on the frog.
You pee on the frog.
If it lays an egg the next day, you're pregnant. And they were using it around the world. It does work. It works reliably.
Because it's something about probably hormones in your pee.
And it makes the frog want to lay an egg.
This is also why I can see why some people believe in magic. You know, it's like, well, I peed on the frog and then it accurately predicted.
Yeah. And people think it sounds crazy, but it really works. Yeah. It really works.
Yeah.
I'm glad they don't sell that as pregnancy test now, though.
Well, you just go down to the pet store.
Just sell you a frog. First response, African frog.
You get a pet and you get a response.
Then if you're not, if you're not pregnant, you have a frog that
you can reuse. That was the other thing about it. You can reuse it.
What?
Yeah.
You can't it's not dead. The ones that you buy in the Walgreens.
No.
This is environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The old ways, sometimes the better way.
That you pee on.
This little frog told me I was going to have
I just imagine the frog waking up in the morning. Another day at work. All right. Here we go.
Go for it.
Yeah. I'm just going to stand here.
Yep.
Yep.
Just punching a little time card.
Okay. The most live births by a single woman was what? How many? A is 39, 49, 59, or 69.
In one person's lifetime.
One person. A single woman had this many babies.
Man, even the lowest number.
It is so high.
I'll guess 49.
39.
59.
69.
Whoa! Oh my goodness. I mean, just doing
they
the
must
math.
They must have just shot out like seahorse towards the end of that. Baby number 69 would have just been a...
She had a lot of twins and triplets and quads. There were a lot of multiple births.
Okay, because even just doing the math, right? Yeah. I mean...
All right, last question. According to the old wives' tale, carrying a baby higher means that you'll have a what? A boy or a girl?
Right, which is it?
Carrying it higher.
I remember it's one or the other.
It's a girl if it's higher.
What do you say?
I'll say boy, just to be different.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I think it's nonsense.
Well,
you have to pick a boy or a girl.
What is the saying?
Tale.
Yeah, what is the belief? Yeah.
Boy.
It's a girl.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Eye-opening.
Yeah, that was Misha's quiz.
Thank you, Misha.
Wow. All right, my turn, and I haven't done a music quiz in a while. I was inspired by taking famous guitar riffs or solos in reverse.
Okay.
So this whole music quiz, I'm going to be playing opening riffs of songs, rock songs, of just the guitar part.
All right.
Okay. No singing.
And it's all
yet.
Opening. It's opening riffs?
Yes, except for one, because the opening was a little bit, the volume was a little bit low. Okay. So I chose another riff in the middle. You know, you're not going to pinpoint the notes because they're being played in reverse, but you can deduce a lot of the stuff from the feeling of the song, from the bass, from the drum.
The tempo.
And also from like the sound of the instruments. And that might give you a little edge.
All right, here we go.
These are all famous, and I know you guys know all of them.
All right.
Here we go. Everybody.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Nirvana.
Yeah. What gave it away? Just kind of.
It sounds like the song, kind of.
It does, yeah.
Yeah,
and
it does.
Sort of the quiet into the noisy. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, it's noisy into quiet.
Right.
And this is the clip forward.
Yeah.
right, next one. Whoa, Colin.
I'm pretty sure that's Black Sabbath, Iron Man.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
And this is the clip forward.
Know what it was called.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I'm sure you've heard that.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one. Everybody,
Weezer, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. Sorry,
Colin.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah,
it is Weezer. Oh, okay. Say it right. Ain't so. So. Here it is. Forward.
All right.
All right. Next one. The percussion might be definitely the clue.
There's a little organ there at the beginning, I guess. I don't know. I can't pin that one.
All right. Well, let me play it forward and see if you guys actually know the song. I'm sure you guys do.
Yeah. This band. I don't know who this is.
This is a Blue Oyster Cult.
Yes.
Don't Fear the Reaper.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
And the cowbell.
Otherwise known as the Need More Cowbell song.
Damn it, Gene!
Oh, that was good.
All right. And one last one. Okay, so I have to say this is a cover. This is a rock cover of a song that is not a rock song, but has a really, really, really strong recurring riff and
a hook, if you will.
A hook, if you will. And you can either identify the original artist or the artist that is performing.
Smooth Criminal
by Alien Ant Farm.
Yes!
Michael Jackson original.
You guys know the cover.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Alien Ant Farm, Smooth Criminal, Michael Jackson song. Mm-hmm. Here it is forward. Also had
When you said it was a rock cover of a song, I was like, oh, it's that one. Yeah.
Too many clues. All right, well, that was my quiz. Well, you guys did really well. I thought it was like, it was hard, but, you know, I was hoping that you guys are music buffs and you guys totally
You can hear the tone and you can kind of like pick up on, the rhythm and,
And it's definitely harder without a voice. Because even a voice backwards, you can kind of hear the quality of the voice. And this one.
That was tricky, though. I mean, you really have to pay attention.
Because your brain wants to pay attention to the notes, but that really like isn't the thing because they're not in order.
Yeah.
There you go.
A few All Quiz episodes ago, I introduced a segment that we affectionately titled Brad Pitt or Lasers. I believe I came up with that name the spot.
No, come on, you have to do it. It's time to play
Brad Pitt or Lasers. You're right. That is much snappier. You imagine your own laser sound effects. The conceit of this quiz is I will give you guys pairs of wildly unrelated things, people, inventions, and you tell me which came first, which is older, which was born first, debuted first, finished construction first. For each question I will give you guys have a pad of paper and a pen. You'll write down which one you think came first. And these are all close. These are all chosen to be close to one another. The sometimes just a few months. The greatest gap is about 7 years. So they're, do your best here. You may have to take wild guesses. That's kind of the fun.
Okay.
So in the spirit of Brad Pitt or lasers, this installment is called Kanye West or Post-it Notes.
Oh. Kanye West or Post-it Notes.
So indeed, the question is, you guys write down which came first, singer Kanye West or Post-it Notes.
God, how old is he?
And we will be keeping score.
Okay.
I think Kanye West is like our age. Or older, a little older.
I love hearing the thought process as the gears are turning here. All right. And when you're ready, answers up. Karen and Dana say Kanye. Chris says Post-it Notes. Kanye West was born 1977. Post-it Notes introduced 1980.
Yeah! That's what I thought. Oh, good.
They were, now if it makes you feel better, Chris, they were test marketed under a different name for a couple years. Uh-huh. They were called Press and Peel Notes, but Post-it Notes as branded Post-it Notes did not come out until 1980.
Wow. Okay. Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Older than Post-it Notes.
Which is older? Google, the company, not the numerical concept, Google or The Matrix? The movie, The Matrix.
That's a good question.
Close.
It's very close. It's
very close.
Okay.
I'm thinking of, it's all freshman year of college for me, so it's just a question of like,
All right. Answers up. Karen and Chris say Google. Dana says The Matrix.
It was right around that time.
Google was founded September 1998. The Matrix was released March 1999.
Months. I knew somebody who was right there at the beginning of Google, and it was when I was in college, and so was The Matrix, and I was trying to...
They were very close, very close. Yeah. Google, narrowly older.
Boo.
Which is older, Clint Eastwood or The Hobbit?
It's just the fact that it's so close. All right. Okay.
Hmm.
I have some sort of rationale.
All right. Answers up. So Chris and Dana have said The Hobbit. Karen says Clint Eastwood. Actor, director, one-time mayor, Clint Eastwood was born May 1930. J.R.R. Tolkien's classic The Hobbit was released September 1937.
Yes!
Man, that's a seven-year split.
Clint was 7 years old when The Hobbit came out.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
So I remember a lot of this stuff was inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien's Time of War, you know, like a service in the war. So I was I knew it was a little bit later.
Right, right. And the Lord of the Rings books came out many years later. Yeah, right, right.
Wow.
Which is older, LSD or Spam?
Oh, interesting.
Wait, the drug LSD?
The drug LSD.
So when it was...
And the food product Spam. Yes, LSD was synthesized.
We talked about processed foods.
Spam, like when they landed on that name, or...
When it was introduced to market.
Okay.
All right.
I thought that was tied to Korean War, maybe?
All right, and answers up. Karen says Spam. Chris and Dana both say LSD. LSD was first synthesized by Albert Hofmann in 1938, whereas Spam was introduced 1937. So Karen got it.
For the wrong reasons.
Well, Hobbit and Spam came out that same year.
It was a big year.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a big year. Just eat yourself some Spam while reading The Hobbit.
Read some Hobbit.
Yep. For fantasy and processed lunch meat.
Spam it.
With Clint Eastwood by your side.
After he gets home from kindergarten, We're going with a couple of just solid American icons here. Which is older, the Brooklyn Bridge or Budweiser beer?
Whoa. Ooh. Feel like this is a trick. That's what I'm going with, the trick answer.
I don't know how it could be a trick. All right. Budweiser. Answers up. Everyone says Budweiser. Everyone is correct.
Yeah!
Budweiser beer introduced 1876. The Brooklyn Bridge completed in 1883.
Yeah, cool.
All right. You guys are on a roll here. All right. Here we go.
Bud before bridge.
There you go. As the saying goes, buds before bridges.
Sure.
Sure. We'll close it out here with one last one. Which came first, Miley Cyrus or the Thighmaster?
Oh, interesting.
The machine, the Thighmaster, right?
Yes, like the home fitness device, the Thighmaster.
Oh, not the person, the Thighmaster.
The master of thighs. Yeah.
Yes, James Thighmaster, yeah. Esquire.
They call me
Thighmaster. All right, answers up. Thighmaster, you are all correct. Yeah. Yes. It was close, though, as with all of these. Okay. Miley Cyrus was born 1992.
Oh, man.
The Thighmaster introduced 1988.
Yeah. Suzanne Somers, kind of more of a 70s, 80s icon.
Well, she came later. She actually didn't really start advertising for it until the 90s when kind of took off. All right, Karen.
I win.
Our walk-away victor here from Brad Pitt or lasers.
Yeah. I want Brad Pitt with lasers.
Kanye covered in Post-it notes.
No, I don't want that.
No, just Brad Pitt with lasers. Yeah.
All right, good job, guys.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Y'all listening to Good Job Brain World News. Big breakthroughs this week. Lactose Schmactose. The government has finally confirmed that the moon is, in fact, not made of cheese. And in other science news, the boys in the Audible Laboratory have made an ultimate discovery. Top-notch engineers are hard at work creating a new way to read literature without actually reading. Yes, all you cerebral sirs and dexterous damsels can now rest your eyes and listen to books. What's next? Electric cars? Good luck and go get 'em, boys! Visit audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain to experience the future! And this concludes Good Job Brain World News.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week is our all quiz bonanza number 21. Who's up next to give us some quizzy goodness? All right, Chris.
Over the history of Good Job Brain, I have done at least a couple of quizzes about dogs, and I realized that I've given short shrift to cats, but I want the cat people to be happy too. This is a quiz. Mm-hmm. It is about fictional cats.
Oh, cats, all right. Okay, I'm good
in
at that.
Fiction.
All right.
Cats in fiction. Right. I just love the game show title.
Right,
it makes anything seem more exciting.
Are
really
we buzzing in? Or so I will... can we meow in? Is that too annoying?
No. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Far too annoying. Okay. Won't be able to tell you apart. No, just...
that's my meow.
Oh, meow. Okay, all right, you can meow in. All right, so meow in with your distinctive meow. I'm saying that this is okay because I don't have to do it ever.
Right, right.
Sure.
College, like, whatever.
He's going to do it.
The girls will do it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow in with your distinctive meow. All and right. Then I'm going to describe the fictional cat, and you will tell me who the name of the fictional cat.
All right.
At the end, yeah. We'll meow at the end of the question.
Okay.
A robot cat from the 22nd century.
Meow.
Colin.
Is that Doraemon?
That is Doraemon.
Oh!
Yes.
What's that?
He's a Japanese anime cat.
Famous anime cartoon
Big
cat.
Big blue cat.
They're making
has some worldwide fame.
They're making the 3D animated movie.
They are, yeah.
Up soon. Man, I grew up with Doraemon.
Oh.
Xiao Ding Dong? Yeah.
His name is Chow Ding Dong.
Xiao Ding Dong means little ding dong.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because he has a bell.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
Now it makes sense. I thought you said ding dong. She did say ding dong.
I speak Chinese.
Sometimes they're really saying ding dong. Okay. All right. Patrols the halls of Hogwarts looking for truant students.
Oh, God. Mrs. See, it's Filch's cat.
Yes. I didn't do Crookshanks because everybody would get Crookshanks.
Mrs. Narl. Pass.
Oh.
Niles.
I forget. I don't
it
know.
Is Mrs. Norris.
Norris.
That is Mrs. Norris in That's the right. Harry Potter
books. Okay. All
right.
Like Morris the cat.
Yeah. Morris cat. Norris.
Data's pet cat on Star Trek The Next Generation.
What? When did he get a cat? Okay. I'm not to that season yet.
Colin?
I think like Holly Golightly, his cat is just named Cat, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay. I forget.
His cat is named Spot.
Oh,
Spot.
Okay. I see what you did there, Data.
Yeah. All right.
So clever.
Data.
Sorry. I can't get over Colin's meow. It's the most accurate one.
You know, he has cats.
You have cats. Like, it's only one who has cats.
That's how I talk to them. Yeah. How else are they going to understand me, Karen?
Yeah, they don't know English.
All right.
All right. Okay. Okay. The cat from the first ever animated film that got an X rating.
Meow.
Colin.
That's Fritz the Cat?
Fritz the Cat from the Ralph Bakshi film, Fritz the Cat.
Not appropriate for children.
Interesting.
Friend and advisor to Sailor Moon.
Oh.
I used to know this.
Neko something?
No.
I don't remember.
I'm never going to be able to retrieve it.
Luna.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, everybody. Yeah. Oh.
Sailor Moon.
Oh, Sailor Moon.
And your cat was Luna.
Yes, I am ashamed.
All right.
Born in the kitchen of Mama Leone's Italian restaurant.
Garfield.
Yes.
That's why he loves lasagna.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There was one special where he meets his mom.
Oh.
Or is that Snoopy? No.
It's one of them.
All right.
Four basically identical looking real life cats played this character, the pet, on the Nostromo.
That's from Alien franchise.
Who was the cat? It was the first Alien movie.
It was like
their mascot.
Ralphie or something.
Oh, you're so close.
No, what? Petey.
Jonesy.
Yes.
The Simpsons have had 5 pet cats.
Whoa.
Name 3 of them. Okay, Dana.
Snowball 1?
Yes.
Snowball 2?
Uh-huh.
Snowball 3?
Well, yeah, technically you are correct. The 5 cats that were the Simpsons pets were Snowball 1, Snowball 2, Snowball 3, Coltrane, and Snowball 5, which Lisa then renamed at the end of the episode, Snowball 2. And finally, he's the first character you meet whenever you start a new game in the Animal Crossing series.
Oh, man. No.
Karen.
No, that's not my... That's
oh, that's not your
impression of...
Oh, yeah, that's what he sounds like.
I don't know his name. I only know Tom Nook. I know Mole, the mole who yells at me because I changed the time.
Whenever Mr. Resetti,
whenever
you start a new game of Animal Crossing and you're moving into your new town full of animals, you meet on the train into Animal Crossing Rover the cat. Very much like Spot.
Very much like the Spot. Yeah.
Yep.
I was looking for Heathcliff.
Yeah.
Well,
it wasn't in there.
You got to save some for the next quiz.
Right.
Yeah. So everybody knows, I've been drinking this thing called Brain Tonic. It's supposed to make you smarter.
Uh huh.
How's that working?
Do you feel smarter?
You didn't get Mrs. Norris though, so you got to chug some more.
Yeah,
and it's clever. It's tonic with Q, and then the IQ are highlighted in a different color.
Tonique, yeah.
Tonique.
Brain ton IQ. All right, I'm ready for your quiz, Dana.
That's right.
My brain is tonicked up.
This quiz is who is googlier?
Who is googlier?
I Google. I don't know. Basically, what I'm doing is searching for terms or people in Google, and you guys decide who has more Google hits.
Okay.
And I'm putting all of these things in quotes, so the Google results aren't inflated. It's exactly that phrase.
Okay.
Who has the most pages? Okay, so you guys will write your answers down, and then we'll share what you think.
All right, I'll see how this goes.
We'll start it off kind of easy. Well, to get the feeling of it. All right. So, what has more Google results, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Wow. Oh, no question.
I like
who is googlier.
I think it could be close.
Oh.
I question both of you. I say Star Trek.
But Karen and Colin say Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Wikipedia, man.
Yeah. Star Wars had 82.4 million pages and Star Trek had 25.1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm surprised it's not closer.
But all those
more
toys.
More franchises,
all the franchises.
Yeah,
true.
All right. So here's a 3-way one for you guys.
Oh.
Who has the most Google pages? Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer Aniston, or Jennifer Lawrence?
Ooh.
God.
This is also the timeliness part.
Actually,
of it.
Put them in order.
Okay.
Yeah. Lopez, Aniston, and Lawrence.
I have my reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
I have my reasoning as well.
Good.
I say Lawrence, Lopez, Aniston.
And Karen says?
Aniston Lopez Lawrence.
Oh. I say Aniston, J-Law, and J-Lo, because that's what the cool kids call them.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
It is Lopez Lawrence Aniston.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No one gets it.
Lopez had 36.5 million.
It's that dress.
Lawrence had 19.7 million, and Aniston had 15.8 million.
Huh. I thought maybe the Brad Pitt Aniston split would have provided a lot of stories.
Here's the thing. I looked it up. I was trying to figure out what the Google search results would give me. Is it just based on day and my location or what my previous searches? It may have something to do with the server, but overall, if you put things in quotes, probably that's how many pages it's pulling up.
I was guessing that, you know, since Jennifer Aniston's been around, since there's been the internet, maybe she would have had more time I don't know.
I mean, there's also a lot of algorithm stuff because, like, sometimes Google doesn't display. If you have one site that has multiple hits, they kind of all omit those consolidate. Results. Yeah.
Lopez, though, has a lot more than others. Ah. Yeah. All right. Here's one. What do you think, which has more hits? How do you know if a girl likes you, in quotes, versus how do you know if you're pregnant, in quotes, and your is misspelled. It's spelled Y-O-R.
Misspelled both ways.
It's spelled Y-O-U-R.
I want to see other people.
Okay. Chris says, how do you know if a girl likes you? Karen says pregnant. Colin says pregnant. No, it's how do you know if a girl likes you?
Wow.
But
I guess there's a more concrete way of
you know if
slightly
you're pregnant,
more. It's slightly more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very close. What about how do you know if you're pregnant misspelled your versus how do you know if you're pregnant correctly your?
Oh, man.
I have no faith in humanity.
Okay.
I have some faith in autocomplete taking over.
And I'm going to say I have no faith in people who can't figure out or don't understand how to know if they're pregnant or not, knowing how to spell if you are pregnant or not.
You guys are right. The misspelled your comes up more.
Wow.
It had 234,000 hits versus 104,000 hits.
Wow.
Twice as frequent that you get the wrong spelling. But it may be that it's auto-completing to the wrong one, and then people hit yes.
You're like, close enough.
Yeah. How about, in quotes, how tall is Bruno Mars versus, in quotes, how tall is Tom Cruise?
Oh. Again, it's like a recency thing, or...
What a weird quiz.
Oh, you ran the board with
Everybody
Tom Cruise.
Everybody said Tom Cruise. Yes.
Yeah, that is a mystery.
What about how tall?
It's never occurred to me to think about how tall Bruno Mars is.
But
he's 5'5", by the way.
But Tom Cruise.
I hit enter on these to find out.
Tom Cruise was with Nicole Kidman, and she's super tall. And so when pictures, you're like, how tall really is Tom Cruise?
How about how tall is Tom Cruise versus how tall is Beyonce?
Oh.
I'm still going to go with Tom Cruise.
I'm still going to go with Tom Cruise.
And Chris changes it to Beyonce.
Lady Bay.
It's Tom Cruise.
Oh, man.
And they're the same height. They're both 5'7", according to Google.
Huh.
Yeah.
She wears heels, though.
Last one. How long does it take to get to the sun versus how long does it take to get to the moon? Okay, so Colin and Chris both say moon. Karen says sun. It is sun.
Yeah!
But we've been to the moon.
But you're never going to go to the sun.
It's like a 2-to-1 margin.
Wow.
It's like,
really?
Yeah, it's 436,000 versus 202,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brain tonic, man.
Yeah. They just wanted to call it. Karen's on fire today.
That was good.
That was good. Wow. All right. And we have one last quiz.
Colin,
you're going to bookend this?
A couple people commented they were surprised/disappointed there was no Elvis on our 100th episode. So I'm gonna set things straight. It is time for a return visit from our electronic lyrical vocal interface system. Our computerized voice from the 1980s who will read out opening lines from hit songs, stripping them of emotion and soul. And you guys tell me, who is the artist? What is the song? There is a theme for this set of Elvis songs. And I'm going to tell you in advance what the theme is. So there's a puzzle within a puzzle.
Okay. Whoa.
All of these songs that Elvis will be singing came out in the same year. So you guys need to not only identify the songs as we go, some may be a little easier than normal, but you need to tell me what year all of these singles were number one hits.
Okay.
All right.
Goodness.
So this was a year we were all alive.
Okay.
So you guys, you know, maybe can try and remember, you know, what you were doing, where you were when this song came out. And by the time we get to the end, you will all have to give me your year.
All right.
All right. Here we go. First track.
A scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly, and is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants, and just sits on his broke ass.
Yeah. TLC. No Scrubs.
No Scrubs, yes, by TLC. Starting you guys off a little bit of an early one here.
Fan mail, yeah.
I believe it was track number 3. Number 2.
Here we go. Next track.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight, yeah.
Yeah.
Dana.
Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. No. Oh, baby, baby. Oh, hit me one more time.
Yes, one more time by Britney Spears.
Wait, is it one more time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because they didn't want the hit me, because that would have been... Okay,
yes, it's
it,
like dot, 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 one more time.
One more time.
Her first number one hit.
What year was that?
Well,
well you'll have to tell me. Next track. Hopefully you start narrowing in on the year.
All right.
She's into superstitions. Black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that girl's gonna make me fall.
I believe that was Chris.
Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca.
All right, next track.
For pop.
It was a lot of number one hits that year for a lot of first time number one hits that year.
Oh, that's true. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Next track.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside, and I can't break through. There's no talking to you. So sad that you're leaving. Takes time to believe it.
Cher, Believe.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Chris is on it from the first word. That is Believe by Cher.
Wow.
All right. Last one here. This was one of the biggest hits of the year and, in fact, carried over into the following year.
Okay.
Man, it's a hot one. Like 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you whisper and the words melt everyone, but you stay so cool.
Chris and Dana,
Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
Santana. Smooth.
Yes, Smooth. Carlos Santana featuring Rob Thomas.
Okay. Yeah, it had Santana.
All right, so that was a big year for pop. A lot of debut, not a number one hits. What year? Man. So go ahead.
I feel like should we write it down?
Yeah, go ahead and write it down. Yeah. All right, and sirs up. Karen says 1997. Chris says 1999. Dana says 1999. It was 1999.
Yeah.
Chris and Dana, right on the nose.
At first I thought it was like 2000, but then I was like,
it's early. Yeah.
A touch earlier.
Same year Matrix came out, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Big year for
culture.
For this episode of...
All right, well, good job,
you know what
guys.
It was? If I can tell you the workings of my brain here.
Please.
In the year, I think, 2001, they came out with a version of the Sega game Samba de Amigo that had Livin' La Vida Loca in it. It was a game where you shook maracas.
Oh, yeah.
The little monkey. Again.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no way that song came out in 2000 and then they had the game out so
produce
immediately.
It.
So it must have, there must have been, because it's like by the time that game came out, it's like, oh, well, this song is so clearly appropriate. It's like that song must have had a little bit more time to lodge itself in the public consciousness. And so I picked 99 and I feel really good about that.
Cool.
And I just want to thank you guys for being here.
That
I shared with Dana.
Yeah.
I love it. I love hearing the thought processes.
Yep.
All right. Well done.
All right, and that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening, and hope you had fun playing all of our games and quizzes today. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com, and check out our sponsor, Audible, audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain. And of course, we also have our Patreon page up, so you can help support us if you want, and that is at Patreon, patreon.com/goodjobbrain. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.